Today, as we begin our series of conversations that are all about your specific intention, we want to start off by talking about what each of those words mean. First and foremost, we want to talk about intention. Well, this is just simply how everything works. We don't mean the mechanism by which things function. Those have their own operating pieces and parts. We mean the fact that anything is happening at all is happening because of the intention that you have set. Having set the intention, things are in motion, and things are in motion offering you feedback, which you then offer back to the feedback that then continues the things that are in motion. Gravity, the sun rising, the sun setting, circulation of blood in your body, the exchange of gases in your lungs, these things all happen because of the intention that you set. They're mechanisms, they're devices, are none of your business, really, but they are there very specifically to be there to either explain to you what it is that is happening because you have an inquiry about it or curiosity about it, or simply to be part of what you consider to be the necessary functional aspect. There is no thing, however small it may be, however minute or however inconsequential you may consider it, that is not part of the intention that you've set. You don't realize this because you are surrounded by your intention. If you were sitting outside of the system looking in, you could see it very obviously. You think everyone shares your experience, let's say, of gravity, but in fact, no one else really does. All the evidence that you have that says gravity is just a common factor that everyone deals with, handles, and manages is actually supported by all the data that you get, but the data that you get arises out of the intention that you set to have gravity work the way that it does. Now, if you decided you wanted to have some weird sort of odd sort of strange sort of relationship to gravity, you could make that decision. You could, in other words, set that intention, and it would very specifically begin to happen for you. Now, when we talk about specific, we're talking about something that is not personal, but you often, in fact, almost always, interpret it as personal when, in fact, it isn't. Discovering the difference between the personal and the specific can be a very powerful thing indeed. So, for instance, we say something very clear, very broad, but very true, that everyone, everywhere, in every way, along with everything, is actually helping you right here and right now. That is a highly specific statement. It is very specific about you, and we mean it specifically about you, but it isn't personal. We're not talking about you personally. Now, your personal viewpoint is one that is generated by the having of your personality, which has arisen out of a specific intention. You give a very specific bent to all things that you create. Now, we say that not because you need to take this bent into consideration, but because that's one of the ways that you can understand what it is that we're talking about. When we say that you're creating a very specific bent, that everything has this very specific way of showing up for you, and that you interpret that to be personal, what we're saying is that you really do still believe that you're one of many, that you're just an object on a chessboard. And by looking at it in this way, it gives you sort of an opportunity, an opening to realize that, in fact, you might not actually be at all on the chessboard. You might have some ideas of self that you project onto this chessboard. You might believe yourself to be an objective item, your personality, your name, your physical body, even the physical things in your environment. But in fact, everything that you can conceive of, everything that you know of, is actually very specifically yours. And it is very specifically tailored to you. It is very specifically about you in ways that are not personal at all. And everything in every way, at every time, in every moment, is operating in this very specific function to serve you, to offer you up what it is that you've intended to be brought. The system that you're in seems very complex and complicated, and it has lots and lots and lots of moving parts far beyond your counting. But in fact, those things exist only to explain a story that you've developed for yourself. If you were curious, you got an answer, and the answer arises along with its question and brings you a full-on backstory, depending upon what it is that you want to look at or see. Now, again, we can say this over and over and over again. You're probably really not ever going to truly believe this or even understand what we're talking about, which is fine. The point of this series of conversations is not to convince you of anything. It's to actually invite you to help yourself have more and more and more of what it is that you're intending. Because when you make your intention personal, you put yourself in a place where it gets very difficult to have it. But when you recognize that everything, everywhere, and every way is happening very specifically for you, there's a tremendous amount of freedom that you can find in that thought if you let yourself do so. The freedom is not in what it is that you need to do. The freedom is not in what it is that you need to accomplish. The freedom is not in what it is that you're going to finally figure out or get right. The freedom is just simply in the fact that you're letting yourself, that which does the personalization, off the hook. Backing up, taking a broader perspective, and letting yourself see something that is there very much, very specifically to help you. For it is, and it does, if you let it. So the personal is when you basically say, this is mine, and it belongs to me, and it has nothing to do with anyone else, and I own it, and I hold it, and I need it to do things for me, and I need it to form itself around me, and if it doesn't form itself around me, then I will be disappointed or betrayed. When you hold something in mind specifically, you see its benefit, or at least you're open to it, you're willing to see it, and you recognize that it's something that you do in fact share with other people because they are too part of your reality. And so what is specific for you is actually beneficial for everyone in some way, in fact, in ways that may not be obvious to you at all. When you're holding something in the light of your personality in terms of making it personal and making it, trying to make it very, very, very personal to you, what you're doing is cutting other people off and saying, well, they can't have this because it is mine, it belongs to me. And while that may be ethically, morally, and legally true, the metaphysics here is something completely different because, in fact, nothing belongs to you and everything belongs to you all at the same time. Everything is yours specifically and nothing is yours personally. And if you have developed an idea of betrayal around, let's say, having a particular date with a particular person at a particular time on a particular night, and they say, I'm not available, I'm sorry, and you sort of gnash your teeth and rend your garments, you're holding that person in relationship to you very, very personally. But when someone says, yes, I'm not available, then you know, and you give yourself the opportunity to know, and you give yourself the opportunity to see that this is the best thing that they could possibly do for you, that they could tell you I'm not available, because that just means that there's someone else, or maybe it's a night better spent having fun with yourself or with friends. Who knows? But to hold someone captive to you and to say, you being here, you answering the phone, you doing what it is that you said you were going to do, and making it a personal stake that their behavior then dictates how you feel, and that you will feel better if they would call you or if they would answer the phone or if they would answer your text message. That personalization, that personalizing of the relationship doesn't really benefit you because now you're captive not only to the other person, but you're holding them hostage as well. As we said before, every jailer has to stay at the jail. You don't have any choice. You can't leave. You have to constantly look over that which you have captured to make sure it doesn't escape or get away from you. The freedom that happens when you notice that things are happening for you very specifically and that it's benefiting you, and that all is well, is pretty amazing. And when you let yourself have that awareness, when you let yourself off the hook of personalization, and you say, this is mine because it is available to me, because I can perceive it. So it's not going anywhere. It's not going to escape from my clutches. I do not need to claim it and hold it and put it in some sort of box and capture it for all time, or at least until I get bored with it. When you do this, when you let yourself have this very specific experience, amazing, wonderful, freedom-filled adventures rise up. Adventures that may be big and broad or may be small and very quiet. But wonderful things begin to happen when you let yourself off the hook that way, because you don't realize that it seems like what you're doing when you are saying, this is mine and it belongs to me and I hold it and it's mine, you're guaranteeing something. But that's within the light of protection, within the light of a chaotic universe, and that's not going to work out the way you think it's going to. What you've convinced yourself to believe is that by holding on to things very tightly and personalizing them and saying, this is mine and it belongs to me and no one else, that then you're guaranteed some level of assurance or comfort or security. And that's not the case. It's not ever the case. The case is that what is there, what has arisen up, is right there for you very specifically, trying to hold on to something like money and make sure that it never goes away and that you don't spend too much of it and that you invest it wisely and that you handle it perfectly and you pay all your bills on time and you do everything you're supposed to do, makes it very difficult for you to have it. It also affects your capacity to see what is really at play there, the specific cash that is there for you. Money is a highly personalized idea. Money is the thing that you're always going after, you're always grabbing for, you're always trying to get, or you're trying to soothe yourself or manage or placate yourself in relationship to it. Money is like a very, very difficult relationship with someone where there's an awful lot of screaming and yelling, but no one ever gets anywhere and no one actually gets what they want and everyone is highly dissatisfied. But when you look at cash dollars or pounds or euro in a specific light, in the same way if you look at another person in a specific light, you realize the right people, the right cash is right there, right at that moment, right then for you. And that there really can't be anything better than that because that's as good as it is. And as good as it is, it's only going to get better. And that's pretty astounding stuff. So one of the things we also would suggest that you notice is that not only are you in this right place at this right time in this right way, but everything is actually working out for you. That is a very specific statement indeed. And as you put that specificity to test, as you notice it, as you play with it, you will find that it broadens and opens, whereas the personal closes down and shutters. So our suggestion is that you really look at what is specifically happening for you, take stock of it, and recognize how wonderful and amazing it is, because it truly, wonderfully, amazingly, powerfully, deliciously is exactly like that. And as wonderful as all of that is, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.